Well, good morning, and welcome to Prairie Village Church of Christ. If we have any visiting, we especially want you to know that you're always an honored guest here at Prairie Village. Brethren, there are some sermons that need to be preached over and over during a period of time. I last preached this sermon back in March of 2013. I hope that none of us ever get to the point that we take the local church or the local congregation for granted. We must remember that God is the one who set this system up, not man. Identification with the local church was a practice of New Testament days, and one example is seen in Acts 9 and verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. Do we all know and appreciate the blessings of being part of a congregation that is a working congregation, a congregation that is at peace, a congregation that loves each other, and most importantly, a congregation that loves the Lord? I believe we have that here at Prairie Village. Do we really appreciate this? In order to realize this blessing, we need a sense of obligation to Prairie Village, the church of the body of Christ here. If you have not placed membership or have been identified with a local congregation, you must do so to be in the faith. If there's anyone here this morning who desires to become a member of the Prairie Village Church of Christ, or if there's anyone here this morning that has left the Prairie Village congregation and wants to come back and work with this congregation, God has made provisions for you to do either or both. So let's spend our time this morning talking about the local church and what I owe to it. The local church and what you and I owe to it. Please open your Bibles and follow along with me if you will. As always, I ask you not to take my word or any man's word, only the word of God. So go ahead and open your Bibles, Acts chapter 8, if you would. Now in the New Testament, the church is spoken of in two senses. It is first spoken of in a universal sense, referring to all of the saved. The Hebrew writer referred to it as the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. That's Hebrews 12 and verse 23. Now, when Jesus said, "I will build my church," in Matthew 16, 18, it was of the church of the universal sense that he was speaking. And when Paul speaks of us being baptized into one body, he was speaking of the church universally. In Acts 2:47, the Bible says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Now, when an individual renders his or her obedience to the gospel and receives remission of their sins, they are added by the Lord to the church, and in the universal sense, to the body of the saved. Look with me at Acts 8, if you would. Beginning in verse 35, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized?' And Philip said, 'If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now when the eunuch came up out of the water, he was saved, and he was added to the one body of the saved, to the church in the universal sense." Now, this body of Christ, this church in the universal sense, has no obligation to meet together, no authority to appoint worldwide officers, no authority to collect a treasury, or to do anything as a collective body. It does exist solely as a spiritual entity that denotes spiritual connection. The Bible indicates that only the Lord knows the number of its members, and only He can add to or take away their names from that list, which would be the same as the Lamb's Book of Life. Now turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'd like to read, let's read together what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. He says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His." Now, if you would, turn to Revelation 3 and verse 5. Revelation 3 and verse 5 tells us, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Now, there are individual activities that we're to do because of our relationship to Christ in the universal body. I am a Christian, part of the universal church, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and every action in my life should reflect who and what I am. And as a Christian, I vote, I work, I function as a citizen of my country, I perform as a husband and as a father, and do all the other activities always, always realizing that Christ lives in me. Look at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 with me. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And I want us to read these beautiful words that Paul wrote. Paul wrote in Galatians 2 and verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Aren't those beautiful words? Now, all of this related to the universal church and the Christian's place in it is true. But there is another sense in which the word church is used in the New Testament. That is in the local sense, as in the local or a local congregation. We read of the churches of God, which is at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2. We read of Paul receiving support from churches in 2 Corinthians 11:8. We read of the churches of Galatia in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 1. Now, all of this indicates locality, speaking of a church in a local sense as a local congregation. I may leave one local congregation as I move to another city or a place and join another there, while never ceasing to be a Christian nor ceasing to be a member of the church in the universal sense. We read of Paul in Acts 9 and verse 26 seeking to join himself to the disciples in Jerusalem. So what was Paul doing here? Well, he was seeking to identify with the local church there. It's clear from the New Testament that God expects all Christians to belong to a local congregation and worship and work within that group. God expects this. Now, there are responsibilities that I have as a member of a local church that are additional to the ones that I have as a universal church. The question to us is, what then do I owe the local church of which I am a member? What do I owe the congregation here at Prairie Village? Well, the first thing I'd like to mention is this. As a member of Prairie Village, I owe this local congregation the same kind of allegiance that I give to the Lord because Prairie Village is the body of Christ in this place. Now, this may shock you, but you know what, brethren? In a local congregation, or in any local congregation, there are people who are not perfect. As a matter of fact, everybody in every local congregation is not perfect. But I have to be able to remember that the church is a divine institution made up of humans and that there are going to be problems from time to time because of that truth. And I don't know about you, but whenever I think of a church having troubles, I think of the Corinthian church. Now, there was a congregation with problems, with lots of problems. And I'm going to give to you these problems that the church in Corinth had chapter by chapter. Now, in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, we read about a bad case of preacheritis. In chapter 5, we read of the incest being tolerated in the church of Corinth. In chapter 6, it's the sad story of brethren going to law or going to court against each other. In chapter 7, there's marriage problems. In chapters 8 and 10, problems some were having making the complete separation with understanding from idolatry. Now in chapter 9, some were denying Paul's apostleship. In chapter 11, they were abusing the Lord's Supper. In chapters 12 through 14, they were abusing the miraculous spiritual gifts, demonstrating pride and a lot of other improper attitudes. In chapter 14 again, the problem of women acting out of place in the assemblies, and in chapter 15, some were denying the resurrection. Now, my friends, this was a congregation with serious, serious problems. But Paul didn't give up on it and go running away because of its internal struggles. No, he chose to seek to work out their serious problems to help them correct their sins. He addressed them as the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Indeed, the Bible teaches the necessity of being in fellowship with other Christians and other in a local congregation. It's just one of the reasons that we have gospel meetings and one of the reasons that we go to gospel meetings. There is no such thing in the New Testament as a floating membership. I seriously doubt that under normal circumstances, God recognizes as faithful anyone who refuses to settle down with the local congregation. Neither is there any such thing as membership back home. It is simply not scriptural to attend one congregation for years while claiming membership somewhere else. We need local church membership because we need association with the saints in Acts 2:42. We need oversight of the elders in Acts 20 and verse 28. We need spiritual discipline in Galatians 6 verses 1 and 2. And we need collective worship in Acts 20 and verse 7. And we need service in the church in Ephesians 3 verses 20 and 21. And we receive many blessings from our membership in a local congregation. However, these benefits come only as we discharge our obligations as members. As members, we must make sure that the truth is taught in Ephesians 5 and verse 14. As members, we are to obey the elders in Hebrews 13 and verse 17. As members, we ought to live righteous as example to others in Matthew the 5th chapter. As members, we need to admonish our brethren, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 14. As members, we are commanded to maintain unity and harmony in Ephesians 4 verses 1 through 3. As members, we should give of our means, 1 Corinthians 16 verses 1 and 2. As members, we are asked to participate in the program of the work here, the teaching program and so on, Ephesians 2 and verse 10. And as members, we are required to attend all assemblies possible, Hebrews 10 verses 24 and 25. Now, the second point, I owe to the body of Christ here at Prairie Village the exhortation that we all mutually need to remain strong and steadfast. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 with me, please. Now we all know Hebrews 10 verses 23 and 24, which says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." Oh, brethren, there are so many obstacles in our walk with the Lord. Each of us can be discouraged. Each of us can weaken a little bit and get tired. But the Lord knew that, and he made provisions in the local church for us to help one another. It's so interesting to me that even the animals in nature understand that there is strength and protection in numbers. Did you know that when quail nests They do so on the ground in a circle, several of them together and protecting one another. Well, I don't mind telling you that many are the times when I need the help of those of like precious faith. It's a tremendous blessing. It's a tremendous blessing that we fail to receive and a tremendous blessing that we fail to provide when we do not come, when we fail to be with other Christians exhorting and being exhorted. And as you know, the world is constant in its exhortation through television, through the radio, and through the worldliness of fellow employees, just as a sinful environment to which we are exposed every day. The world is like a river running over a stone of faith. It can slowly, slowly wear it away. And we need to have it constantly renewed every day. And my brethren at Prairie Village need it, and so do I. The third point, I owe Prairie Village faithful attendance to its work. Now, this includes participation in all of its efforts, but especially so in opportunities to worship. We did not continue in our reading of Hebrews 10 just a minute ago, but we certainly could have gone on and read verses 25 through 27. So let's do that now. That's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 through 27. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Did you notice something here? Did you notice that just to decide not to attend an assembling of ourselves together is called sinning willfully? Did you notice that? Have you ever thought about that? That's pretty serious. Pretty serious. It's pretty serious when you don't come to church when you can. You're sinning willfully in God's eyes. Show me a 1 hour only a week Christian, and you'll be looking at a Christian who could be a whole lot stronger than he or she is. And from the ranks of those who attend but 1 hour a week, don't come elders, don't come preachers, and don't come teachers. I can assure you that. They cannot be depended on for any kind of work on a regular basis. Paul exhorted us in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Such individuals are steadfast only in their lack of effort. Lack of effort. Have you ever noticed that all these folks expect the building to be open, to be cool, to be heated, to be clean, and to be paid for? They expect all the services to be manned by those who see the job is completed, but they themselves cannot be counted on to faithfully help in any of those areas. In every congregation, there are a few who are so distant from the work and the members that the doors could be shut for a month or two and they'd never know it. These passages that we just looked at clearly indicate the will of God touching the matter of public worship. Then why is it so neglected? Why is it so neglected? In every congregation, there are some members who view such gatherings as entirely optional. That's sad. That's sad. But God certainly does not view worship to Him as optional. There are some that will go to service if they have nothing else to do. They'll be absent because of ball practice, because of extra school curricular functions, or family reunions, or family holiday gatherings, or you name it. Some who are careful to attend a Sunday morning service will skip other opportunities to worship the same God and learn more of His Word. Why is that? Why won't they come on Sunday morning Bible class? Why won't they come on Sunday evening? Why won't they come on Bible study on Wednesday evening? Such behavior is rebellious against the Lord of glory. It places the convenience of the worship above the true object of worship. In essence, it says, I know what the Lord said, but I think... You can fill in the blank. Turn to Acts 2 and verse 42. Brethren, how does that compare with the early disciples of the Lord that we read of in Acts 2 and verse 42, which says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer." They never quit. They never quit. However, this is not to say now that we should not be interested in the work of other places, nor that it is always wrong to be in attendance somewhere besides the local church. It's all right and even necessary at times to be away and visit occasionally with other congregations. But no Christian should do so to the neglect of his responsibilities at home because of biblical emphasis on the essentiality of local church membership. And that's especially true in a small congregation like we have here at Prairie Village. But I remind each of you that it was not easy for the Lord to leave His heavenly existence, to take the form of a servant, to suffer the toils of a peasant existence, and then to endure the indignities of His trials and then the agony of the cross. Have you ever thought about that? Would you do that for Him? Would you do that for mankind? You might want to think twice before you answer that. Just consider, what if Jesus had gone to a family reunion that day? Or what if that had made Him miss a great sporting event? Or what if He was just too tired to go to services and that was His only day off? Think about it. The fourth point. Our old Prairie Village, my financial support. God doesn't need our money. He owns the world. However, it is obviously required by the Lord that faithful Christians support the work of the Lord with their money. Over and above opportunities of giving and the good works that we can do for individuals, we are commanded, brethren, we are commanded to support the local treasury. We're all familiar with 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, as well as 2 Corinthians, chapters 8 and 9. When we give, we are giving to the Lord, brethren. We are giving to the Lord. Surely, Acts chapter 5, the account of Ananias and Sapphira, makes that clear. Well, you may ask, does the church need the money? Does the church need the money? Of course the church needs the money. Prairie Village will always have a need because the Lord expects us to be involved in evangelism, teaching those who are already saved and benevolence for the saints in need. There will never be a surplus of money above that need, not here where the saints are interested in doing the work of the Lord that the Lord gave us and not in hoarding up the money. As a member of Prairie Village, you and I have a responsibility, brethren, but also a privilege to share in the support of this great work. And there's one more thing I like to mention that you owe to the Prairie Village as a member here. You and I owe this local congregation a proper attitude towards each and every member of it. I need to love my brethren, and not only in word, but also in deed. And I intend to talk about that tonight at 5 o'clock. We hear and we know of congregations that are split and divided by animosities and fussings and within, but we all owe it to the Lord and to the brethren to do as Paul commanded in Ephesians 4 and verse 3 when he wrote, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in bond and peace. You might turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, if you would. Now, there is a joy of brotherhood and a blessing of unity that ought to prevail in a local congregation, one that is free of factions and strife. And this congregation will continue to function free of factions and strife as long as we all remember to adhere to Paul's exhortation in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Let's read those together. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 8, Paul wrote, "If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now I am only one, and you're only one, but this one is important. We will each stand before God in judgment, and we will each give an account of what we have done. And I know all of us here this morning desire to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And we will hear it when we have used our ability to the glory of God. Many Christians are not fervently for the Lord, nor are they against Him. They simply become indifferent towards Him and His cause. They're called lukewarm by the Lord, and it is said God will spew them out of His mouth in Revelation chapter 3. Brethren, life is regularly drained from the local church because of membership indifference. I'm going to repeat that. Life is drained from the local church because of membership indifference. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, if you would. One last passage. Now, too many of us will simply not listen to the admonition of the Lord. When Peter gave what we call the Christian graces, he concluded by warning in verse 10, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall." Brethren, God in His infinite wisdom has provided this congregational local setting for His people so that we might grow together, encourage and be encouraged together, worship in peace and harmony together, and get a foretaste of heaven itself together. And if you're not a Christian, we plead with you to come forward and repent of your sins, confess Jesus as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Then you will be added by the Lord to the Lord's church. You'll be added by the Lord Himself to the Lord's church. And then you can declare your desire to be a working member of Prairie Village. If there's anyone here this morning who has left their first love, and you've sinned in a way that others are aware of, or maybe you haven't been coming to church as you should, and if you feel like you need to repent, if you've repented to God, we ask you to come forward and let us pray with you and pray for you. Then you will be a member of this local congregation once again. You'll be a faithful member. And then together, we'll all go home. And then we'll hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." If we can help anybody, anyway, in any way, come forward now as we stand and as we sing.